Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 66 of Soccer Over Gotham, the home opener. We have a great show for all of you, but first, tell me, Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We got a whole lot. So a cloud hangs over Gotham's home opener for the second season in a row. Last time it was COVID. This time there was a thunderstorm. OL rains on Gotham's parade in a 2-0 loss. All right, no more weather puns. Probably. No promises. All right. Stanate Fairley enters the match for the first time since September 4th, 2015. What an absolute incredible moment. We promise new things for the podcast. The second segment of this show will feature Bree from the Purple Pulse podcast, and our conversation will be featured on both podcasts. So I can't wait to get caught up on the enigma that is the Orlando roster build. Bree always has so much to say. I really love talking to her, but let's just get started. Ruby, how are you?
Those were good puns. For the rain. That were good. But yeah. I am so happy to be back recording another episode. But I've had such a long and busy week. So, you know, I have a regular job, but I'm also trying to grow my real estate business on the side, which is like my side hustle. And right now we're furnishing a new apartment that we want to get ready as soon as possible to be able to rent it out. And technically, what we focus on is setting up amazing places or apartments for traveling nurses. So it's not your typical long-term rentals or your typical Airbnb, which is like a few days. It's more like a midterm where they stay 3 months. And it feels like I am moving into this apartment because I'm bringing all this stuff into the apartment, bed, dressers, everything you can think of. But yeah, that's boring. Let's talk about soccer. And whenever I'm done with that, I'll probably share some pictures. But tell me, what have you been up to?
I've been good. I got to tell you about my Saturday of that game day. I had to work in the morning, and I left my house, and there was a downpour. Mm-hmm. And it's only 15 minutes to my work, and I don't know much around here because I don't explore much, and so I only know one way to get to work. So I'm driving, and there's like these police barricades everywhere, and I'm like trying to figure out. Like, I'm talking to the parking authority lady, and she's like, "I just need to get to the other side of this barricade. What's going on?" There was a 5K going on, so I ended up driving like 30 minutes one way and 20 minutes back the other way to get back to work. And I was like way late, and I was like, whatever. And on my way there, like, the rain really starts coming down, and like the rubber on my windshield wipers just start going crazy. No. So I had to like go stop at an auto place, just get new wipers, then make it to work. And then I get to the soccer game, and everything's looking pretty good. And then that cloud just starts creeping over. I'm like, no way.
Tell me about it. It was such a nice day. Okay, in the morning, I live in Morristown. So in Morristown, it rained maybe up until like 10 a.m. And then the sun came out. It was such a beautiful day. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. We're going to have such a great day at Red Bull. And like you said, here comes the cloud.
All right, let's get to some of the shows. First, a quick shout out to Jennifer from Cloud9 on being an inaugural torch bearer for the torch ceremony. That was awesome.
Yes, that is so awesome. So awesome that Gotham brought someone from Cloud9 to do this. You know, this was an important event.
Yeah, absolutely. And last week we touched on this, but when the fans said that we should bring Sage to the arena, we should put Sage in the torch. Can we do that?
That would have been a great idea. And we definitely needed it that day.
Yeah. So this was Gotham's 2023 home opener, and it was chaos part due. Last season, we had the last minute cancellations again due to COVID. And this time we ended up playing, albeit delayed from a severe thunderstorm. So Ruby, I heard you didn't even make it.
This is the second time that I missed the game because of the rain. The first time that I went, I had to leave early. Well, not early, because it was late already. I think it was like 10:30 or something like that. I was like, I got to go. So I left the game and I had to watch it from home. Now, this time I was actually on my way and then it got awful. I was driving. I'm not the best driver in the rain. So I had to turn around because, I'm not very good at driving in the rain. I was so bummed out. and but better safe than sorry, you know. So I turned around and had to watch the game from home again.
I had Reese's at halftime in your honor, so it was that.
Yay! Oh my god, oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, speaking of the weather, it got delayed and I didn't even stay for the post-game presser because I made it home about a little after 1 a.m. and I'm just too old for this. Yeah, those long rides hit differently after losses. They seem like forever. And like last season, it was an eternity driving home after those games. But so let's not do that again.
Oof, yeah. You know you're getting old when it takes a little bit longer to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
That's how I know, I think. Anyway, but hopefully next year's home opener will be a successful and we will have beautiful weather and no cancellations, no delays, hopefully.
Yes.
Let's cross our fingers.
Yes, just a little luck. Just a little luck.
Just a little luck.
Yep, podcast update. So we now have season pass media credentials. You need to still get yours.
We are official. Yes, we are official. I have to pick up mine next home game. But yeah, we'll be covering the home games, from Red Bull Arena and bring you all the action from behind the scenes. Stuff that you guys won't be able to see, we'll bring it to you.
Speaking of this game, despite that crazy weather, despite Red Bull and New York City FC playing at the same time, oh yeah, and there's the Final Four, had 7,000 announced for this match. That's awesome.
That is amazing, especially for a home opener with the weather and everything that was going on around the city. The fans are just amazing. And I know once the weather gets better and it's pretty out there, I'm sure more people will attend to see all the Gotham games at Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, but it was just good to get back in that arena and see familiar faces. My seatmates next to me are amazing. And so shout out to them. All right. Gotham is partnering with Play Proud. So not only that, Cloud9 will be joining the project. So Play Proud will provide participating clubs and organizations with training, resources, and support to help them enhance inclusive policies and practices within their organization. Obviously, we love that.
Yes. Yes, we love to see this. And we love that Gotham is doing this. Another good news is that today, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, who is also an owner of Gotham FC, signed an executive order establishing New Jersey as a safe haven for gender-affirming healthcare. Thank you, Governor Murphy. You know, a lot of things have been happening around the country where they're trying to ban or bringing all these laws against LGBT community. So I'm so glad that New Jersey is so open doing this and always pushing for equality in our state.
Yes. Thank you, Governor Murphy, for that. Incredible. All right, let's get to this game, shall we?
Let's do it.
Gotham enters the match on the back of their first win since last summer. OL is trying to get a bounce back performance after letting Trinity Rodman turn the game on its head last week. Onto the roster, there's a really short injury list. Krieger and Martin out of the game and Torres again out for the season. This time, the formation is back to a 4-3-3 that we know Amoros favored last season. A Smith in goal, Bruninha on the right, Freeman, Edmonds, and center defense, Kelly O'Hara on the left. The midfield was Christy Mewis, Allie Long, and Yasmin Ryan, Lynn Williams, Goodwin Sauter, and Purse across the front line. Your thoughts on this lineup, Ruby?
This is a great lineup. Again, we're going against a very solid team that's all OL Reign, but you can definitely feel the absence of Allie Krieger in defense. But, you know, Gotham has a lot of depth, so I think, well, at the moment, I thought we were going to do pretty well.
Your point on Krieger was definitely right. And it's possibly because we only have two center backs on roster. That's right now. We're back to the 4-3-3. So Savava gets her first NWSL start after a promising run out last season. Farrelly is in the 18 again. And Flores and Betos added the 18. Smith and Haught are in.
You know, I was really happy to see Smith back on the 18 and actually playing. It was really cool.
Yeah, it certainly was. But again, getting to this game, the first 25 minutes of this game is pretty much all Gotham. Gotham's in control here. OL is pinned for the most part in their defensive half. OL changes the game by scoring a fantastic goal. And anytime you say the words Cook, Huerta, Lavelle, Fishlock, you know something bad is going to happen for your team. one chance, one goal. Gotham goes back to last season's Gotham, it felt like, and they just brought all out of sorts, and they just get to halftime trying to recalibrate. Your thoughts on this first half?
No, don't say the old Gotham is back. But it kind of felt like it, honestly. And yes, like you said, Gotham had control of the majority of the first half. Great ball movement and flow on the field. Gotham was shooting shots, not on target, or, you know, yeah, they were not on target, but sometimes OL will block them, but still they were shooting, so that, which is really good. You know, you never know with, just need a little bit of luck. Sometimes we'll reflect on someone and you'll make a goal, but that didn't happen here. It's such a shame, honestly, because they had a great game. You know, we had great efforts from Ryan, Mewis, Midge, and Williams to score.
Agreed. This was a good performance on the flanks. OL didn't get a single cross off all match. I prefer left-footed players at the left-back spot, but I think O'Hara did well enough. She's super, super aggressive. And Lavelle was only dangerous when she cut inside.
Yeah, Gotham had good pressure high on the field, which was what I was asking for last week. But the midfield kind of lacked a little bit. I kind of feel like there was a disconnect because they were like pressuring up high too much that they kind of forgot about the midfield and defending. So OL Reign was taking advantage of that. And OL Reign is such a great team, but Gotham cannot let LaBelle find space to send those balls, especially to Fishlock or Balser.
Yeah, there was definitely too much space between the lines, and mm-hmm. OL is too smart to not take advantage of those. But Gotham is having a lot of trouble connecting passes forward. Svava, who was subbed at halftime, only had 6 touches. So Gotham is still trying to figure out the press triggers. So when they do it correctly, it's causing some trouble for OL. But a team that doesn't press as a unit is going to get pulled apart and outnumbered in spaces, what we just talked mm-hmm. about. Do you have any player notes for this first half?
Yeah, I do. I think Mewis had a good game here. She was all over the field, asking for the ball, shooting the balls. And I really thought we were going to see a Mewis goal in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I thought we were going to see some goal this game. Yeah. But, you know, it's good to see Allie Long hasn't missed a step since being away. She missed on one pass in the first half, long or short. She's just a master of just feeling where the pressure is coming from. Her first touch is always just in that little pocket of space to buy her just a half a second, 1 second to see the spaces around her and find the right ball. She was incredible all the first half. And both games, she was named captain after our captains left the game, which is important to see how much, you know, the team values her leadership.
Yeah, she's one of the most consistent players on the field. And she's in control of the game. I see why they would give her the captain's armband, you know. I missed her. I missed her playing for Gotham, and I'm so happy she's back. And I saw the outfit in before the game, and she brought her twins. Oh, they're so cute.
Yeah, the fits are back. That's incredible.
Yeah, fits are back.
Bernina, I want to point her out. I think she just has a lot of flair. Mm-hmm. Ruby, in your opinion, can you have enough flair?
I mean, you cannot have enough, but when you're a Bernina, you just have a lot of flair. You just go all over. One of the plays that stuck with me is when she was running back full speed and she took the ball away. I don't know who it was. I think it was Balser. It was amazing. She just did like, I don't know. She just threw herself and got that ball out of there. That was definitely going to be another goal, but thanks, Bernina.
In my opinion, some players have some flair and Moore is encouraged. She also has flair when she goes up for headers. She does like a spin into her headers, which is funny. And then she was running down the field and she ended up like tripping like by herself. And she just did like this full on like roll. So maybe she needs to teach Williams how to fall because Williams says she doesn't know how to fall. But I'm glad Bernina's here. She's a super talent, and she's going to get better and better. And she megged some player in the midfield.
Yep.
Oh, wow. And that was
amazing. Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Midge megged somebody, which went off on the races. And it was one of those beautiful megs I've ever seen. I think it was probably Huerta, right?
Probably, because it was on that, the same side. It was just so good. I'm telling you, like, they played so well. But no luck. We just need a little bit of luck.
More of the same from the first half into the second half. We look good defensively, shaky going forward. Gotham lets a ball bounce off a corner, which he's never supposed to do. A scramble ensues. Balzer finishes it. Gotham's down 2-0. Sinead fairly enters the game to a loud ovation. Gotham just gets plenty of chances, but there is a force field around the visitor's goal, and Gotham puts the ball everywhere but on frame. The end. Ruby, your thoughts on the second half?
Again, this was a much better second half for Gotham. They played well, but like you mentioned last week, they just need a little bit of luck, and they can't seem to get any luck. I don't know why they cannot finish that ball, and I do have to admit, like, Ole Reign has a good defense. They defend really well.
Yeah, they do. You know, teams that know who they are going into the season are going to do better at the beginning of the season. So this is the Shield winners returning most of their starters. This was a pretty full strength OL team. I think Gotham held their own against a pretty good team.
Yeah. By the way, they should thank Gotham for that shield, because the Thorns were supposed to get it, and we blocked that. So they should thank us. But yes, they definitely like held their own. They didn't back down. They kept looking for opportunities to tie the game. I like what I see from Gotham. It might take a few more games for them to get that groove and get, you know, start yelling, like start like have that chemistry on the field.
Find us on Twitter at OverGothamPod. That's where the fan voices are. And at halftime and the final whistle, the fans over there on Twitter were very concerned about the final third. And I'd say, rightfully so. The defense looked much improved already. We allowed zero crosses. So again, the outside backs were really good in this one. OL relies a lot on service from outside in the wide areas. Huerta not getting off any service is pretty impressive feat. I don't know how you don't come off impressed with the rookie Nyswanger through the first two games. Great control, great vision. What I like most about her is her touch at all ranges. She knows how to put finesse on the ball and passes through traffic into the right foot, and knows just when to just bang a ball velocity into the danger area. She needs more minutes. Rookie of the year candidate. If we can get her going, her potential is through the roof.
Yeah, she has so much confidence, and you can tell by the way she plays. Nyswanger is just one of the players to watch this season. She's a natural, really, really good dribbling, connecting passes, a great overall vision of the field, and reading the game.
The moment of the game, which was Sinead entering the pitch, Sinead had an interesting performance. She didn't look nervous at all. Like, she went in and was just telling everybody what their assignments were and got to work. Mm-hmm. She's very slick with the ball at her feet in tight spaces. She's got obviously a high soccer IQ and just missed on a couple passes that could have broken the game open. Once she settles in, she's going to be very good. It's still crazy how long she's been away, and she just looks like she barely left.
She also looks so confident out there. She came in with, like, you know, she had a mission, and it was so great to see her back. She also plays so well, created some nice plays out there in the second half. She looks really good. Like you said, it feels like she never left. She looks so good. And I know she's going to get more minutes now that the World Cup is going to start this summer. So just be prepared to see her more on the pitch.
Yeah, when she was signed to the team, I was like, okay, how many minutes can she get? She's been away for so long. Mm-hmm. She's probably going to take a couple months to get back up to speed. But hey, she must have been like one of those like sports montage things for like a year before joining this team, because she looks really, really good. I'm impressed. Get some takeaways. I think this is funny. On the big screen at RBA, they had the play of the match, and it was Abby Smith putting out the fire that she started. And I was like, you know what? That sounds about right.
All right. I don't know who did that. But yeah, like you said, she was just putting out the fire that she started. And I mean, good thing she was able to put it out, because, you know, those are little mistakes that you can't let them happen. I know we're still like it is just the second game, which, you know, it's okay to make those mistakes, but you can't make those mistakes when we're playing like big teams like Ole Reign.
Yeah, some keepers are like that. They will put in incredible performances. They're great shot stoppers, but they're going to have one of those like moments a game, the Jane Campbell of keepers things. But I'm not sure if that's the case with her. Maybe it's just nerves and being, you know, her first couple starts in a little while. Maybe she's mm-hmm. just getting used to the team. She seems pretty aggressive. And I think Abby's going to be pretty good going forward. But yeah, who knows?
I feel like the stakes are high here with Gotham. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're coming from a season that was not the best for them. So everyone's really watching how they perform this season. And I know as much as the fans, they want to start winning games. So mm-hmm. you just feel that pressure going into a game.
It might be a chance to go see what we have in Mandy Hawk. But, you know, if they want to roll with Abby, let's roll with Abby. Mm-hmm. I am very concerned about the lack of depth at center back. I've mentioned this a lot in the past couple of weeks, but going into the season with three center backs seems like a pretty poor decision. Ali Long has filled in a center back in these past two games. Like, I know she can, and actually she has all the characteristics of a center back, but I don't know if that's the best use of our resources. Mm-hmm. So like Krieger in the sixth last season, can she? Sure. Should she? I don't think things are going pretty well for you if you do, but I guess.
Yeah. And like you said, like, you know, can they? Yeah, should probably not. And it feels like this year, or at least now, it kind of like reversed, because Krieger was trying to fill for Allie, and now Allie's trying to fill for Krieger that she's out. I don't really like Allie playing that position. I mean, she does it well. I just hope that Allie gets better soon so she can come out and just start killing it on the field. I mean, it's her last season, so I just want her to like be healthy and get to play and enjoy all these games.
Yeah, well, they got 2 weeks to get up to speed. Feels like things have been rushed a bit from the coaching perspective. I feel like it's been a little bit too much too soon. I have faith in this veteran team to get it, but in mm-hmm. you know, use the 2 weeks to get healthy, and let's just give it to Orlando. I'm ready.
Yeah. Let's give it to Orlando. This will give them time to regroup, work on strategies, and also have better chemistry on the field. We have to beat Orlando.
Just a quick shout out to Edmonds, her first game for the Jersey girl in New Jersey, playing for Gotham.
Yeah.
I hope her family and friends were there to see it. However, if I am correct, she was playing on the opposite side for the Pride Night rain delay game that went past midnight. Maybe. Just maybe the weather was her fault. No, it was probably mine. It was just my kind of day. But this requires further investigation. Let's see what the Jenna sources say.
What does Jenna sources say? Yeah, but I don't know. I think you're onto something here. You're onto something. The weather needs to get their ish together. I'm just saying, it needs to get together, because I'm not about this life. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like we're having like mixed seasons in the week. Like, one day is winter, and then we get spring, then fall, and then a few hours is summer. For example, tomorrow is going to be 80, but it's going to rain. And then the rest of the week is going to be in the 50s. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's New Jersey. We get all the weather. But let's get some post-game quotes. I agree with Jess Fishlock, who tweeted, "The best thing that happened today, we got to see Sinead Fairley return to the pitch." Yes, yep. Jess, I agree with you. Class.
Yep, you got to put that somewhere. April 1st, 2023, she came back, you know? It's just such a big moment for Fairley. She deserves to be here. And I'm just so glad that Gotham gave her that opportunity to return.
Speaking of that game, so last week I said my favorite thing about Red Bull Arena was the pitch. It's just an incredible field, and no matter what the mm-hmm. weather is, it's just always perfect. So Yasmin mm-hmm. Ryan echoed my sentiment when she said, "Despite the onslaught of rain before the game, the field conditions were great, not too slick or soft." I told y'all.
Told ya. But yeah, you know, Fishlock also said the same thing about the field during her halftime interview. She mentioned that the field was great to play on. So there you go. Another player and from the opposite team saying this.
Yeah, I'm such a nerd. Like, I bet you everyone's just like, there goes Gary talking about the field again.
I'm going to start counting, like, how many times to talk about the field.
All right, Ruby, any stats of the match?
Yeah, so I do have a stat. This game was pretty even, but since 2021, Gotham has lost 4 times against Oil Rain and has won 2 games out of 6. So there's my stat. What about you?
So my stat of the week, I think there's only one stat, and it is 0. Shots on target. The whole ball game was right there. Uh, even even as an even game otherwise, how maddening this game was to watch.
Yeah, I have to agree. It was a little frustrating. It really was, because they were really trying and nothing would come out of it. You know, I don't know. It's only the second game of the season, so we just have to stay positive here.
All right, let's get to our player of the week. So over Twitter at OverGothamPod, fans chose Mewis. Thanks to the fans who voted. Do you agree, Ruby?
I do. I do have to agree with the fans. And like I said before, she was all over the field trying to like score. She was very active. Mew was very active on the field, asking for the ball, shooting those balls. And I like how she played this game. So my player of the week, yes, it's Mewis. What about you?
This was another. So many decent performances, but like I don't think there was really a standout. So I went with the highest rated player on FOTMob for and SofaScore. Ultimately, I agree with Fishlock. Welcome back, Sinead. This is your night.
Go, Sinead. Welcome back.
If you guys are fans of the team, you should all go listen to the Snacks podcast, which is Lynn Williams and Sam Mewis. And this week, they featured O'Hara. Lynn Williams talked about her trade to Gotham and how she found out. Definitely listen to it. There's so much in it. I'm going to try to make it as concise as possible. But she was in New Zealand for the national team camp. She had an hour before going to a meeting. She got a call from one of the coaches at KC, and they told her that there's a trade on the table. And this is the day of the draft, the morning of the draft, and they have a very short time to get this thing completed. And her immediate reaction was, no, I'm not going. I'm here in KC. I just moved here. I'm just getting used to it. I'm ready to get back on the field. I don't want to move again. Whatever. And they told her it's Gotham and we need to know within like 2 hours. She's like, why are you putting this on me now? I'm about to go into a meeting. I got so much going on. So she was thinking about it. She calls her agent and she's talking it over. And then it kind of hits her that, well, do I really want to play for a team that doesn't want me? I talked to Gotham, I talked to the coach, and they all want me there. So maybe I just want to go to a place where they want me. Because she knows, it. Maybe she says no, and then she goes back to the team, and then they cut her minutes. This is a World Cup year for her, so she needs as much minutes as possible. So this was, a huge deal for her as far as her life and stuff. But she ultimately said yes with like 3 minutes to go, and they made the trade. And it's tough. It's tough. Ruby, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was such a good podcast having Lynn Williams, and how the experiences were so different between Williams and O'Hara. And like you said, that's such a stressful situation. Like, you have to figure, you're like overseas. She was in New Zealand when she found out, and she had to like figure out what she was going to do, how she was going to move, and everything in a few hours. So that's pretty stressing, especially when you're at camp for the national team. Being in that situation is pretty stressful. And I'm so glad she came over. And again, yeah, like you said, KC were pushing for this trade. They didn't want her. They wanted to give the trade to Gotham. And I'm so glad she came over, because yes, we really want her here. We appreciate her. We're so glad she decided to come. Go Bats.
Yes. And I think the funny thing about that is O'Hara chiming in and saying that when the trade was finally announced, she immediately FaceTimed Lynn, thinking that she wasn't going to pick up. But Lynn picked up. O'Hara said that she figuratively flipped the coffee table that she was sitting in front of and then called her and was like, all right, let's go, let's go, let's go. And so it's just good to see how much excitement O'Hara had. And that was just a confirmation for Lynn that she made the right decision of coming to Gotham.
But then after she mentions this on the podcast too, like, you know, she was so excited that you know, Williams was going to come to Gotham. And then she was like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe she's not that excited as I am. And, you know, she needed some time to process it.
Yeah. Also, just a real quick side note on that podcast, O'Hara does talk about her contract as well, and she talks about why she wanted to come back here. She wanted the full circle. She wanted to get back in New York. She loves New York. She loves Brooklyn. She loves Manhattan. She loves being here, and she wanted to play for our coach, and she wanted to play here, and she held firm that there was a no trade clause added to her contract. So she is here to stay, and she's ours.
Yeah, and that was so smart. I never thought about it, you know, and like you said, you got to make sure you put everything that you want on that contract. That way, you know, there's no surprises and you get what you want. So yeah, this no trade clause on her contract was pretty genius. When she mentioned it, I was like, wow, like, yes, like, and she wants to play here. So that makes it even better. I'm so pumped. But again, like, I want to mention how different these two trades or these two contracts like happen. You know, one was like really good and the other one was kind of like, you know, so the opposite, so much different. I wish there was more stability with this. Hopefully in the future, players can get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just get to our next opponent. Gotham has essentially a week and a half from now and returns to 3 games in 1 week. Orlando away on the 15th, 7 p.m., then 2 home games midweek, the 19th at 7:30. That's a Wednesday. And that's the start of the Challenge Cup. And then right back at it at home on April 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Getting to the next opponent, which is Orlando. Orlando is another team trying to find their identity after shipping a lot of players away and bringing in new faces. Gotham, on one hand, has not kept a clean sheet in 19 matches going into this one. Ruby, any thoughts on this matchup?
19 matches. Anyway, but, you know, this is going to be an interesting match because during the preseason, Orlando was killing it. Orlando was doing great, winning all their preseason games. And now that we are officially, you know, the season has officially started, they lost their 2 games. So we'll see where, you know, Orlando stands playing against Gotham. Gotham should be able to beat and win and get that clean sheet in this game. So let's go Gotham.
This is a good time to get Orlando before they figure things out. They got a lot of new players. Gotham needs to figure out their attacking third. Hopefully, against another team with that struggles to keep clean sheets, we can get some target practice in. What are we manifesting this week?
So for the next game, I am manifesting for the team to start making goals. But specifically, I want to manifest that Williams scores 2 goals in the next game. What about you?
I think the goals are coming. So that's why I am manifesting a clean sheet again. And the first goal for Nyswanger. Yes. Or assist. I'll take either one. So random thoughts before we close.
Yes. So, you know, when I was sick like a couple of weeks ago, I started watching a lot of TV because, of course, I didn't have anything to do while I was in bed. I bet you don't watch this, but maybe your girlfriend does. On Netflix, Love is Blind Season 4. So much drama. And if anyone that's listening here, listening to this show, needs someone to talk about it, DM me. Go DM me on Twitter. We'll talk about Love is Blind Season 4. Yeah.
Speaking of shows, 9.9 million watched the NCAA the Women's Basketball Final. It broke all records. Ooh. And the opener of the NWSL game was the highest watched game outside of the final last season. Women's sports are growing at a rapid pace. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for this future.
I'm so excited too. Like, people need to realize, like, you got to invest in women now. Like, now is the time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get to my conversation with Bree of the Purple Pulse podcast, shall we?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Hi, fans. Before we get to the next segment, I just want to thank everybody for helping this podcast grow. It's been amazing. We absolutely appreciate you. You can also help us grow the show by repping our merchandise. Please visit tpublic.com, search Soccer Over Gotham Podcast, all 4 words. All the proceeds go back into the podcast for upgrades. Also, 10% goes towards the Black Women's Player Collective, our favorite cause. And now, back to the show. Welcome to a conversation about the Orlando Pride and Gotham FC. This segment will air both on the Soccer Over Gotham and Purple Pulse podcast. I am Gary Gibson, the podcast producer, editor, host, writer, and analyst for Soccer Over Gotham and SoccerOverGotham.com. You can find our work on Twitter at Over Gotham Pod and Instagram at Soccer Over Gotham. And I am joined by Bree LeBlanc of the Purple Pulse podcast. Introduce yourself, Bree.
What's up, Gary? My name is Bree. I am the co-host of the Purple Pulse podcast. You can find us on at Purple Pulse Pod on Twitter. We also have an Instagram at Purple Pulse Pod, the same thing. We just kind of started getting the Instagram page going up and going, but that's where we'll be doing live reactions to games, big news announcements. You can find Luis and I both there. And yeah, I'm just really excited to get another chance to record with you and talk shop.
Yeah, I always like talking to you. And it's always fun. I navigate the crazy off seasons with you and Luis. So you can't do this podcast alone. So tell me a little bit about Luis and what he's doing right as we speak.
So Luis works for NASA. I'm so excited for him. He works in one of the control centers that monitors launches. And so he's got kind of crazy work hours. Sometimes he has to work a launch all through the night, or sometimes he needs to go for a couple hours and he ends up sleeping all day. He is currently working on something related to that right now. So that's kind of why I'm handling the bulk of this for now, because Luis is also our editor, our producer, our writer. Luis does so much for the show. And anytime that I can kind of take a little bit off his plate, I'm always willing to do it because that's my guy. He may always make sure our podcast sounds good. He always makes sure that it's out on time. And, you know, I give such big kudos to him because we really would not have a podcast without Luis.
And I couldn't do it myself. I had the best co-host ever. Ruby is an amazing, amazing person. She makes me work harder. She pushes me to new heights and she's driven this podcast to great heights. And again, I couldn't do it without her. She's an amazing person. But let's get to this conversation. Let's take a step back. Let's talk about the off season and heading into the off season. So talk about the Orlando Pride and what was, you think, the focus for the team going into the off season?
So going into the off season, obviously we did not have a really great ending to our season, which was already crazy with the suspension of Amanda Cromwell. Leading into, okay, yeah, she's been formally let go. Seb Hines is officially going to take over. This will actually be the first time in a while that the Pride is going into a season with the coach they ended with. It hasn't been like that since Mark Skinner. And so having Seb Hines as the head coach for the next couple of years, he signed a really great contract. Having him as the head coach is not only great for the team, but Seb Hines was a former defender for Orlando City. He started off as a volunteer with the Pride. He did some work with the U team. So he's been here since the Pride became a team. He's grown with the team. He's been there through all the ups and downs. He knows his organization inside out, upside down. So it was really, and he has his license. So it was really a great step forward for him to take the position as the head coach. Seb knows exactly what kind of vision he has for the team. He's had all this time to observe and he goes, okay, this is exactly what I want. And part of Seb's thing is that we're going to bring in more younger players and we're going to be focusing a little bit more on development while also keeping a good balance of veterans to make sure that not only are we developing these players, but they're getting invaluable experience, wisdom, knowledge, and experience from working with veteran players. So when we went into the draft, I had told Luis, and I kind of stand by this, I had told Luis, I was like, you know, I really don't want Seb to focus on forwards. I wanted to focus more on defenders. We knew we need more center backs. In the past, the Pride's biggest problem has been leaking goals. We set a record one season for most goals conceded. Nobody ever wants that record. I would like to not have it again. But one of the great things that Seb did for this draft, and he had help. He had help with the former GM, but he drafted two forwards who also have experience as midfielders, which is good because then when our forwards are kind of, really heavy, where we don't have the room or the minutes for a forward, we can shift them back into the midfield knowing that they are able to cover that position as well. And having players that can play multiple positions, good. They're not just, you know, throw me in if there's a sub or a red card. They actually have spent a good amount of time in that position. That was really smart of him. And that's the players that we got with this draft. So going into the offseason, I felt a little hesitant about where we were going with the back line, but we won all of our games in the preseason against both the collegiate level and against NWSL teams. So I felt hesitantly cautious, you know, optimistic about where we were going into the season, which hasn't happened the last two or three couple seasons with the Pride. So having Seth as our head coach has been really, really well. Having new team owners really dive in deep with this team, putting in the resources, putting the correct people in positions to do really well for the team, having Haley Carter be brought in as a GM. She has experience as a former player, as a coach with the Afghanistan women. And, you know, she was in the military. She's a Marine, once a Marine, always Marine. So she's able to bring all of that to the level as a GM. And she has told us up front, look, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. The Pride are not going to get better overnight. They're probably not going to get better over the next season. But if you stick with us, we can build a team that will consistently make the playoffs. And it's been a while since I have believed a GM that says, we're going to make the playoffs. It doesn't actually feel like lip service, because she came right out and said, look, this is going to take hard work. Okay, we kind of suck. So we need to start at the basics again, redo the foundation, but we can build it up really well. She gets along really well with Seb. They're working together to bring in really good players. Unfortunately, we have already kind of had a couple of injuries. We lost a center back already, and we lost a right back. But they have brought in recently, they signed a drafty that we had that was really good. And we also just signed another forward. But that's going to be more of a development, which is something that I am excited that the club is doing. Sometimes I feel like we bring in young players, and if they don't burst out or be like some of the 15-year-olds that are being signed at other clubs, they have a kind of tendency to just be like, meh, you know, back to the drawing board. So for them to realize and focus on development, that makes me feel really good as a club that we can sign young players like other clubs, knowing that we're not going to throw them in the deep end. We're going to continue to develop kind of as a homegrown player situation, which I would love for all clubs. I think that the homegrown player situation is really good. So I felt good about the Pride going out of the off season into the regular season.
And how do you feel as far as, like, I know Cromwell was very big into youth development. Do you think Seb was a little bit hamstrung by the roster, or do you think that's also been his focus that he wants to continue that, or do you think that's just the squad that he inherited?
So he inherited a little bit of a mess. We had some players that were not happy with previous developments within the club. They were not necessarily happy with management, with the coach. So unfortunately, Seb inherited a little bit of a mess, as with every previous head coach that we've had with the Pride. But he was able to kind of jury-rig the roster a little bit there towards the end. So the players that we kept over the offseason from the previous roster, those are the players that Seb believes in. I know that 100% in my heart. Everyone else that we have waived or traded or that have asked to leave, those are players that, you know, I wish them all the best. I hope that they are successful at their other clubs as well. You know, once a Pride player, always a Pride player in my heart. But who we have right now on the roster, in addition to who we brought in right now, those are the players that Seb believes in 100%. And I trust him wholeheartedly on that.
Going into the season itself, how did you feel about the roster build going into the season? I know you were very low on midfielders and now center backs. Like, how do you feel about this roster build right now?
So we're still a little shaky on the defense, but I know that there's a couple of stuff that is in the works. I have to believe that, because there's no way that our GM is going to look at our back line and think, no, everything's fine. As I mentioned before, we have some forwards that could be shifted into the midfield. And so looking at the roster right now, yeah, it's a very young roster, but I like that because the young players, those are the ones that come in really wanting to work hard, really wanting to prove themselves. They don't take anything for granted. They know that they have to fight for everything. It may have been a little bit easier at the collegiate level, you know, because you it's a little bit easier. You can sub in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. But here it's like you get one shot to make it count. And so they're willing to work hard. They know that they are in the presence of players that have been there, done that, and they're able to pass on their wisdom. And the really great thing about our club, and I would hope it's like this for every club, but the good thing about our club is that our players do grow close together. We do take in new players, we take in young players, and we really do take them under our wings. The veterans take them under their wings because they want them to succeed. So much of this team, sadly, is defined by its failures. We're defined by games that we should have won and we ended up losing. Games where we've been pummeled, where everyone has counted us out and they're just like, well, that's your little pride for you. And so we really stick in for each other. We really dig deep and we really support each other. And so I like having young players because they will work hard. And if you believe in them, they will put it out 10 times forward.
So let's take a step back and just look a little bit at Gotham FC and their off season. I think there's not a single person inside or outside of this organization that would have considered last year a success on any level whatsoever. So, and everybody knew inside and out that it just wasn't good enough. This is a New York, New Jersey club. They expect winners here. And what Gotham put on last season, even going into last season, Gotham had a plan of action and was focused on that until the GM left, which was Elise LeHue. She left under dubious circumstances, and we now know why that is. But we brought in a rookie GM and a rookie head coach who kind of learned on the job, and it was not the right fit, especially from the coaching side. The roster just wasn't good enough. The coaching wasn't good enough. Everything just was not good enough last season. And going into this offseason, I think Gotham finally recognized that, put in some new investment, some new ownership, some new coaches, new staff in the back end, and some and a player that you know very well, Ashlyn Harris, joined the back end of this team. Really feel like the investment in this team is so much better than it was last season. Even from the fan perspective, last year, 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 players, fans in the stands. This year, the opening game, we had 7,500 during a rainstorm, during Final Four, during the same time that the NYCFC and the New York Red Bulls were playing. So I think it was a good turnout, and I think the investment is starting to pay off. Now, as far as going into this offseason, I think Gotham went the opposite direction. So I think I'm on a lot of levels. I think both of our teams kind of have a lot of similar themes as far as being chaotic on the back end, having a season that just wasn't good enough, and then trying to find your way to success. And for Gotham, and the players that they brought in are all players that are known players. Gotham took zero chances with this roster. They brought in every single player they brought in. You know they can play. You know they can compete. You know they can play at a high level. And they're all were teammates at one point on the national team. So these are a lot of players that are familiar with each other. I think they got the best coach available in Amoros. All the players seem to like him. And one of the things that I look for is how players react to the new coach. And hearing things like O'Hara was super excited to play for him, and some of the players were really excited to play for him. And these are players that have been in the league for a long time. If they're excited, then we're excited. I think going into the offseason, those big moves that Gotham was making was to take no chances with this roster. And we are too deep in almost every single position, and we're almost four deep at keeper. The only position we are not deep at is center back, which is a bit strange. But I think the draft went very well for Gotham. With the roster that we had, with being too deep at every position, we really did not have room for draft picks. So we spent a high draft pick on Nyswanger and a low draft pick on Hocking. And Hocking did not make the roster because there's just no space. And I kind of like that. But I think for Gotham, it is the focus to be a big club and to be a top-tier team. And the top-tier teams generally do not develop players. And I think that's what Gotham's main focus is on right now, is to just win and win now. There is some focus on later, but this roster is not built for later. this roster is built for right now. We have a couple young players that can ball, like Bruninha. Nyswanger looks to be a gem, which I think we'll get to that in a little bit. But I think Gotham, in this market where they expect the winner, I think this is the right roster move, and this is the right roster to build if you're in New York, New Jersey. Let's talk about your team as well. So let's talk about some of the new players that have entered your team. You got a bunch of international players. I know you just brought in one, I think this week or maybe yesterday, the Canadian international, the 18-year-old. What can you tell us about some of the new players that are on your squad?
Okay. So yeah, we did just bring in Amanda Allen. She is from the Canadian national team. I believe she spent some time at the youth level. I'm still brushing up on her only because I'm not really familiar with the young Canadian players. I'm more familiar with the senior team. Hey, we have someone who chose to forego college, and instead of going with a top tier team, they chose to go with us. That speaks well for our reputation beginning to recover from all of the years of just kind of, I hesitate to call my own team a joke, but that's kind of where we were at for a while. So it's good that we're having that come in. As long as we continue to keep Marta, we have access to her Rolodex of players who are looking for a change, which is what we kind of got with Adriana. You know, when you have a player that's nicknamed the Wizard, that's someone that's going to, you know, produce really great chances, which she already proved in our last game against Angel City. So those are two players that, you know, one definite known quality, going to be great for this team the more she gels in. The second one, you know what? Show me what you got. You made the national team at the youth level. Canada is one of the best national teams. You know, I'm not speaking for the men's side, for the women's side, it's one of the best national teams. So I am looking to see, yeah, show me what you got. If she wants to continue to develop here, that's great. You know, whatever you learn from being on the national team, bring it with you. Our draftees, we picked up Summer Yates, Messiah Bright, Emily Madrill, who already spent time in the professional league. So she's coming in with a professional mindset. Tori Hansen and Kristen Scott, who is kind of essentially our homegrown player because she came from University of Central Florida. Those picks have already like way beyond my expectations of, you know, showing out and showing up. Messiah Bright already immediately making an impact. She's such a hard worker. She gets onto the pitch. She's still gelling a little bit with our front line, which is fine because in my mind, 4 or 5 games from now, she's a known starter. She is a phenomenal player. She is freaking fast. She's just such a great player. Summer Yates, bro, she is so good. She's still a little, she still has some development to do, only to switch from collegiate to the professional level. But a phenomenal player. She has been an instant standout for me, not only just in the preseason, but in the last 2 regular season games, an instant standout for me. We just recently signed Tori Hansen. She wasn't originally on the roster at the start of the season. We just signed her though. Emily Madrill, I think she still has a ways to go with her development. Defensively, she didn't look so hot against Angel City, so still going to continue to work with her, but she's definitely a starter for our back line. So out of the 5 draft picks, 3 are already doing phenomenal, which has not been the case the last couple of years. Usually, if we have that many draft picks, only 1 or 2. 3 immediately out the gate, just already coming in and impressing not only the team, other teams, media, like, you know, they are the future of our team. That's kind of why I'm okay with having such a young team this year, because the potential is already like phenomenal. The potential is already way, way there. Take this whole season, maybe half of next season, and, you know, teams are going to be begging us to sign her. You know, I think that probably in the next 2 seasons, European teams are going to be looking to get these players. That's how good I know that they could be. When European teams start knocking on your door, you know that you've developed a player They're ready for the big leagues. The only reason I'm hesitant to say this season is because this is a funky season. This is a World Cup year. And so not all the teams are going to be at full strength to necessarily see how can you perform consistently against top-tier leagues when top-tier leagues are missing half their rosters for World Cup year. World Cup years for me are always kind of funky. Those for me are really developmental years. Those are the years where we take the players that would normally get maybe 10, 15 minutes per game. We can give you the whole 90 now because we're missing either this player or other teams are missing this amount of players. So we're going to get out there and we're going to start develop you this way. And I think I said the same thing to Luis, you know, World Cup years are weird, but that also gives us a chance to continue to develop so that when the rosters are back up to full strength, our players are ready to go out there and, you know, essentially take the assessment. Are you ready to consistently start? So I'm really happy with our young players right now. I'm really, really happy with the draft picks. I'm really happy with the two additional signings with Amanda and Adriana. I know that we're going to bring in a couple more players because depth doesn't hurt anybody. And so I'm really happy. How do you feel about your team?
I think we're in different spaces. I think Gotham's not thinking too much of the future. And I think they're going all in on winning something now. And I think they need to make money. They need to make an impact. And I think they need to grab the headlines kind of right now. So I think our roster is built kind of the exact opposite way of yours. Our new players are players that you're absolutely familiar with, players that you want to root for, like Lynn Williams. We got Ali Long is back from maternity leave. We got O'Hara. We brought in Svava Goodwin's daughter from Iceland. She's excellent. She can play right throughout the bat. All the players that Gotham brought in, even with Yasmin Ryan, players that you know can play. And I like the way this roster is built. And it's a bit frustrating to try to predict the roster because this roster is so deep. We have Amani Dorsey on this team who last year was in the national team pool of left back defenders. And she has not. And a regular starter, and she didn't make the 18 the first game, and she didn't play the second game. There's just too much depth on this team. The coach seems to really like Bruninha. From a coaching standpoint, I'm a little intrigued because I still don't know what we have in Juan Carlos. He threw the biggest curveball ever at us in the first game because all last season it was a pretty standard 4-3-3, kept his forwards wide, played in service in wide areas. Easy peasy, you understand it right away, right? We come out in the first game against Angel City in this really wacky 5-back, 3-back. We had O'Hara and Bruninha playing right back at one point, and we had two right backs. O'Hara pinched in, and then Muse is on defense, and then Midge is on defense. And it's like, it was absolutely insane, but somehow it worked out. We got the win. But then we went back to the 4-3-3 the week after that. Of course, Krieger got hurt, which is a big deal for us. So, and we only have three center backs on roster, three natural center backs. So like, we kind of had to go back to a 4-back. But it's just, I don't know what that first game was. I don't know if that was an experiment. I don't know if he was adjusting to something that Angel City, maybe Angel City has a weak midfield. They just wanted to overload the midfield. Maybe. I don't know. But it's going to be a take a wait and see approach. But so far, I like his philosophy. And the players seem to really, really enjoy his coaching style. So we're just going to go with that. I don't know. I'm going to take it as a wait and see. I don't know what exactly we have in this new coach, but I'm excited to find out. Talking about this season, what do you think is a realistic ceiling for this for your team?
Honestly, I think we can make the playoffs. It's going to be by the skin of our teeth, probably a head-to-head, and we'll get that last spot. Thanks to maybe the team above us losing or dropping points. But I really, it's been a long time since I believed that this team could make the playoffs. And I really believe if we continue to just kind of put our heads down, take deep breaths, meditate before the games, and stick to our game plan, I really do believe this team can make the playoffs. It's going to be kind of kicking and screaming the whole way up there. It's going to come down to the wire. But I really think that we can do it. I think we can make the playoffs. We deserve to make the playoffs.
You do. You definitely do. After what your fan base went through, yes, you definitely do. As far as Gotham, I think Gotham is in a position that they have to win something. And I think they can. I think they can win something. I don't know if it's the Challenge Cup. The Challenge Cup is all about depth. You have to have roster rotation. I think Gotham being too deep at every position, with players that can play right away, I think we have a chance at it. I think that's our most realistic chance. I do think this team, if this team does not make the playoffs, then there is more than needs to go than the head coach. This team is way too talented to not make the playoffs. So I think that's the baseline for this team. But I really think this team can compete for one of those trophies. The Shield's probably out because it's just too many new pieces, new coach, new philosophy. It's just a lot of, there's going to be hiccups along the way. The Shield, I think, is going to be out of the question. Can they win a championship? Maybe. But I really think the Challenge Cup is the most realistic trophy for this team. And I would be happy. I would consider this season a success if they win one thing. It's interesting to see our two teams that faced similar challenges where last season was not good for either one of us as far as the end result. And they both went in kind of two different directions. Your team looks more long-term, where Gotham looks more in the short-term, which is interesting. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from the conversation that we're having. But we do have a game to get to. What do you think is, like, what do you think is the route for success for Orlando in this game against Gotham?
I always say that I want my team to win, but honestly, y'all's forwards are good. When you guys are all clicking, you're a formidable team. Like, look what you did to Angel City, you know? And even if that was a fluke, you still won. Like, there was a time when Orlando beat Portland and North Carolina in the same week, when they were both top two teams. Anything can happen. So you guys are a little way more organized than we are. We are still I don't think Seb's going to do too much experimentation with the lineup, but your players are known quantities. They are for sure known. They can ball out. We still have some pretty young players. Even with the young players that have already been here the previous season, it's still getting back into that, you know. So I would like a point. That to me would be, you know, good. Of course, you know, I want my team to win. You want your team to win. Just based off of the last two games that we have, realistically, from my point, I'm going to say that, you know, it's a draw. I would like a point for us.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I think that the teams that do really well early on in the season are the teams that know who they are. And we've both faced one of those type teams. Like, you faced Portland, and then we faced OL Reign. Both of those teams are returning a lot of their starters. They know exactly what they want to do with the ball. They know who they are. And those are the teams that do well early on. Both of our teams have a lot of new players, new faces, getting new coaching-ish for your guys. So it's a lot of both feeling out. So I do think this is going to be an interesting game. I think what scares me the most is the unpredictability of Orlando. You got, again, a lot of new players. Marta can always work her magic. And against OL, Gotham got a little bit loose in their lines. And if Gotham gets loose in their lines again this game, I think Marta, Adriana are going to just feast. And obviously Messiah Bright, I have a lot of respect for her as one of the players I really, really wanted this team or Gotham to draft. But yeah, I think that's what scares me the most, is the unpredictability of Orlando and Gotham getting too loose in their lines when with the new coaching style and philosophy. But I think that if Gotham can put balls on frame like they didn't do last game, they had more shots than OL but didn't put a single ball on frame. When they could be really good. So I think a draw is fair.
This is either going to be a barn burner or end out 0-0.
You know, I'm dying for this team to get a clean sheet. Gotham hasn't had a clean sheet in like 19 games. So I want a clean sheet. So as much as I want this team to just score 1,000 goals in one game, I would really like to just once have a clean sheet. But I don't know if it's in the cards for these two teams.
That was kind of our problem for a long time. When we were on that really bad losing streak, I was like, I just want a clean sheet. Bro, I will take a string of 0-0 draws if it meant that we stopped giving up goals. So I know exactly how you feel. Yeah. I know exactly how you feel.
All right. So do you have any random thoughts before we get off?
You know, I want both of our two teams to do well. You know, like you said, it was such a bad season last year. I want our two teams to do really, really well. I want people to look at these two teams. You know, sometimes I look at Gotham and I remember, I know that they're like maybe a different quantity, but I still see like Sky Blue, and I still have so much love in my heart for Sky Blue, because that for me is the foundation for Gotham. They were able to really build off of what everything that Sky Blue was able to accomplish. So I have so much, like, I have so much love for you guys. I want you guys to do so well this season.
You know, I had that thought earlier today for some reason. I always feel like Gotham is like a lot of a lot of fans' second team. Or even though not their second team, they're definitely their third team. So I think people have seen like how, you know, how was Sky Blue, and everybody sees like how kind of, not know how bad they were, but just like how much they went through. I think everyone kind of has that little bit of wanting to see Gotham at least do well. I don't think it's good for, I don't think it's good for the league to have Gotham not doing well in this market. I think Gotham has to be competitive. So I think everyone is kind of rooting for Gotham to be a little bit competitive. And I hope that's the case. But yes, so here's my random thought. I think, what do you think about this? If a player wins a penalty, they get an assist. If the player scores the penalty, they get an assist and a goal.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I'm with you.
There you go. All right, we agree. All right, so that is the end of this conversation. I'm excited for this game this weekend. You ready?
I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Hi everyone, this is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything, so please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at soccerovergotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.